called to give.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in once again to the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We are so blessed to be able to spend the next half hour with you right here studying God's Word as we are talking about the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. And so we are talking about how the Lord leads us. We've talked about He leads us like a father. He leads us like a shepherd. And now we're looking at a few of the more specific elements in which He leads us. On the past two programs, we've talked about that He leads us through authorities that He establishes and puts in place. And my goal in this, in case you're wondering, why is He teaching this, is that we will be able to discern God's leadership more accurately. And the second goal is that we will allow God to lead us, because His leadership is always going to get us to the best goal, the desired goal, and it's going to be the most effective and blessed way for our life to be lived. So that's really where we're going with this program. So thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 or WWBC 1510 AM. We are honored that you have chosen to spend the next half hour with us right here studying God's Word. We do want to just take a moment and say thank you to JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need any block or concrete work done, you can call them at 321-536-5804. They can come out, give you an estimate, see if y'all can work out a timeline. And, this is not one of those things like you can call up the plumber and say, hey, can you fit me in today? You know, you're talking construction, you know, whether it's a fire pit or whatever. I don't know what all that they can do for you. Specifically, whether a job's too small, too big. I don't think it's going to be too big. They're really good at what they do. But give them a call. Have them come out. They will treat you fairly. I promise you that they will do great work. They will work hard. They will do it in an expeditious manner, and you will be pleased with their work the same way that we have been pleased with their work at Merritt Assembly of the year. So give them a call, JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804. So we want to take just a moment to invite you out to our Wednesday night family night. We have a small group type Bible study that takes place in the sanctuary for our adults. We also have youth ministry that takes place for our kids. And we encourage you to come and be a part of that. Feast on the riches of God's Word and grow in your faith, grow in your using the gifts that He has blessed you with. And be a blessing to others. You know, our format on Wednesday night is more of a facilitated format where it's not just a lecture. We do have a person in charge of the class, and, you know, they steer it in certain directions. But, you know, God's grace has been manifest in a lot of different areas in people's lives. And so as we're talking about these things, You can share testimonies and things like that God has done and be a blessing to other people. So like I said, we've talked about God leading as a father, God leading as a shepherd, and God leading through authorities. In all honesty, today I'm going to be sharing a passage of Scripture, and I had never connected this particular aspect with God's leadership before. This is one of those things that never paid attention to it, never looked at it like that before. And so I want to take you to Deuteronomy chapter 32, Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. Give you just a moment to turn in your scriptures there, Deuteronomy 32, and I'm going to do some turning as well. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 7. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you, when the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the place of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the wasteland a howling wilderness. He encircled him, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him. He made him ride in the heights of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the fields. He made him draw honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock, curds from the cattle and milk of the flock. With fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats with the choicest wheat, and you drank wine, the blood of grapes. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, you grew thick, you are obese. Then he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, not to gods. To gods they did not know, to new gods, new arrivals that your fathers did not fear. Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful and have forgotten the God who fathered you. Today I want to talk to you, and this is where we're going to get as we go through this passage, is that God leads us like an eagle. Like an eagle takes care of the eaglets that are being brought up. So let me begin first of all with verse number 9, where it says, "For the Lord's portion is his people." Now, if you and I were sitting down at a banquet table and we would look around, at least this is what I do, I assess the number of people around the dinner table, and I determine my portion of whatever is going to come by in accordance with how many people are left to be served, except for with strawberry shortcake. No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing. I do like strawberry shortcake. But I take out my portion to make sure that everybody gets some. Very rarely am I the first one in line at one of our fellowship dinners. Normally I'm the last one because I want everybody to get something to eat and be able to have fellowship with one another. And I know that if, the food happens to run out, that I'm going to be able to either eat something at home, grab something, on the way home. I'm going to be okay. So to me, it's more about the fellowship than it is about the food, but I like to make sure that everybody get some. But about once a year, they have a pastor appreciation banquet. And at that point in time, they make me go first. And so when I go through the line, I take just a very small portion of each and everything because everybody wants me to try the particular dish that they have made. And so I will get like a half a spoonful or half a forkful of every dish that I can find. And then if there's something that was made by my family, a lot of times I'll skip on that, not because they aren't phenomenal cooks. They are. But I know they can make me that dish at a later time. Now, if they're experimenting, then I will take that because they're going to want my feedback on it. They'll ignore the feedback, but they're going to want my feedback. So, with us, you know, we need to remember that God said that he is our exceeding great reward. And that's what he told to Abraham. Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. But when it comes to God, his portion is not a tangible thing. It's not a share of an inheritance or anything like that. He says, what I want more than anything, the designated portion for me is my people. That's how much God loves us. He says, if you give me my choice, all of the things that I can avail myself of, the portion that I'm looking for is God's covenant people. And I will tell you this, God always takes the best. He always selects the best. When he chose you, he did not choose you because you were the least expensive. He chose you because he loved you. He chose you because he wants to spend eternity with you. He chose you because of giftings that he has placed inside of you, and he knows the purpose that he has for your life. And the good news is, he wants all to come to everlasting life. He doesn't want any to perish. So he really wants the entirety of humanity. So he says, the Lord's portion is his people. Let's make sure that we give God not just our things, let's give him ourselves. But when we give him ourselves, everything comes along with it. As a joint heir with Jesus Christ, we are heirs of everything that heaven has available: salvation, healing, relationship, joy, peace, love, strength, healing, financial blessing, peace of mind, hope, and a future. All of those things are our inheritance. And we're very thankful for that. When we enter into covenant with God, not only do we get him, we get access to everything that he has. And the same is true for us, that when we say, God, here, I want to be your portion. So when I commit myself, my wallet comes with me. My mouth comes with me. My heart comes with me. My eyes come with me. Everything about me comes into that process, so that all of my successes, all of my strengths, all of my failures, all of my weaknesses, my past, my present, my future, it's all in. I want it all under God's dominion. So he goes on and it says, God found him in a desert land, and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. The Bible's very clear that God chooses people not because of their strength, but because of their great need, their desperation. That's made clear over and over. He told Israel, I didn't choose you because you were the biggest nation. I chose you because you were the smallest. I didn't choose you because you were the wisest. I chose you so that I could display my wisdom and demonstrate folly in the world's wisdom. It's not because of strength. It's because of weakness. My grace is made perfect in weakness. So there's a great deal of scripture that proves that we should be very humbled by the fact that God has chosen us. Some people say, well, what you're basically saying is that those who come to God need a crutch. Well, no, it's much more severe than that. I say yes to God because I need life. I need his strength. I need his wisdom. I need everything that he's got. It's not just about whether or not I have a limp. It's about I need him. Apart from him, I can do nothing. It is a complete and total dependence upon God. And that's the way that God viewed finding Israel. He said, you were in a deserted place, in a howling wilderness, and all of a sudden you begin to see this analogy that God is talking about here, where he leads like an eagle. It says he encircled him just the way that an eagle would be flying up in the sky, and with that super sense of vision that an eagle has, would find something that he longs for and would begin to encircle it, make sure that he had it in its sight. Only instead of where the eagle would be targeting a prey to be consumed, God would be encircling, looking for just the right time to dive into our lives, if you will, rise up in our lives and bring salvation. He encircled him and he instructed him. You see, I believe that God is the best teacher. I believe that God is longing to pass on to each of us the wisdom, the instruction that he would have us to have. Fathers didn't just have kids to get the job done, you know, free labor or anything like that. A father's responsibility in biblical times was to pass on the family business. And it wasn't just the things that the kids wanted to do. It was every aspect of the business. And so a child, a son, would work side by side with an employee, with a servant, and each one of them would be doing the same task, even though their status was different with as it pertained to the father. One is just an employee. One is help. The other is being trained to lead the business. And so God leads us not just in a manner where we're completely encompassed, but in a manner in which he is instructing us. You and I, if we would really pay attention, God on a daily basis is leading us in a manner in which we will learn something. You know, there was an old Batman movie, and Jim Carrey was in it, and Tommy Lee Jones, and Batman was, you know, in a place, and Tommy Lee Jones' character wanted to kill Batman, and all of a sudden Jim Carrey's character says, "Wait, don't kill him. If you kill him, he won't learn nothing." And I want you to know, God is not looking to destroy us. He's looking to teach us. And all that homework that we hated as kids actually was very helpful in teaching us things that sometimes we don't apply. In all honesty, I don't use a whole lot of geometry in my life, but I do use it on occasion. And I find that it's probably in a lot more places than what I really know about. I do remember some of the theorems from geometry, some of the lessons from history. I still remember those classes. And God leads us to a place of greater insight and greater knowledge. And verse number 10 says, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Kept him as the apple of his eye. And I will recount to you a documentary that I watched on a very large eagle. I believe it was down in South America, and it was called the Harpy Eagle. The Harpy Eagle. Massive, massive bird. And they were wanting to plant a camera in the nest. And so they had these people who were going to rappel up these massive trees, and they were going to plant a camera. And they sent the cameraman up there, and because of the massive talons that they had, and the just ominous size of the bird. They sent them up with helmets and all sorts of protective gear. And as they were trying to get to the nest where the young eaglets were, all of a sudden the adult eagle began to come in with a great deal of force. And I think one of the documentaries that I watched, the guy actually was almost knocked out, even though he was wearing a protective helmet, because the adult eagle was that protective of the eaglet in his nest. He viewed that eaglet as the apple of his eye. That was the prized possession. That eagle was worth more than his own survival, and that eagle was worth defending. Today, if you are under attack, I want you to understand that God is still on the job. He's still watching over you. He still considers you to be the apple of his eye. And he's going to protect you. He's going to protect you. He'll come to your rescue. It says here in verse number 11, now we're getting ready to go all feely good and everything about that. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led him. So during the time when the egg has hatched and the eaglet is beginning to grow up, the parents would be bringing food. And yes, that was me trying to get my mouth to work the proper way. The eagle would be bringing the eaglet food. It would be protecting the eaglet from enemies. And that eaglet would be growing and growing. And the parent eagles would have made a nest that was very comfortable for the eagles. It would be safe. It would be out of harm's way. It would be very comfortable. It would keep the eaglet warm when it needed to be warm. It was a great, safe place. But the eaglets tend to grow. They tend to grow. And at some point in time, a time that only the adult eagle would recognize, the eaglet would be ready for its next lesson. And so the adult eagle would say, "It is time for you to learn how to fly." And just like that eagle would teach and lead the eaglet in learning how to fly, so God will lead us so that we know how to soar. There's an old story about an eagle egg that ended up getting mixed up into a nest of turkeys. And, it was raised with the turkeys and all of that. But one day he looked up in the sky and he saw other eagles that were soaring in the air. And the lesson goes, you were meant to soar, not to hang around with a bunch of turkeys grounded without flight. So I want you to know today that God has a way of repositioning the nest, taking you on trips that you maybe didn't realize that you were going to go on. That eaglet would be hanging up on the back of the wings of this adult eagle, and that eagle would begin to soar above the clouds and reach this wonderful, wonderful height. And then all of a sudden, without warning, there would be a change of position, and the eaglet would begin to fall through the air, and it looks like devastation is on the way. And the eaglet would be trying to do what it saw the parent bird doing. And eventually the parent would swoop in and catch the eaglet once again, and would continue to do that over and over and over again until that eaglet had begun to learn how to fly on its own. You see, God's not interested in us being comfortable. He is looking for us to go forth in victory. I preached this message several years ago. I can tell you exactly what year I preached it in. I preached it in December of 2013. My daughter had graduated from Bible college and a liberal arts college. It did both. And she had a job. And I wasn't preaching this towards her. I was just preaching it because God was telling me it was time to preach it. And during this message, I preached that not only will the adult eagle teach the eaglet how to soar, but there's going to come a time when the adult eagle says, it is time for you to move on to your next adventure, and would reposition the sticks inside the nest to the point that the eaglet would look for a more comfortable place, and it would go out and reach maturity and grow. And so I preached that God was stirring the nest, that he was stirring the nest. And I preached that on Sunday, and later that week, I don't remember what day it was that week, but my daughter went to her job, and they had decided that everybody with the certain classification that she had, that they didn't need them any longer. And she suddenly found herself without a job. And so she sent me the text that she was going to be without a job in a couple of days. And my response to her, probably not my greatest moment of empathy, was, it sounds like God is stirring the nest. And you know, what happened was the job transitioned. She ended up getting a different job. It started off with less pay. It ended up being a season where God instilled a lot of things into her that she probably wouldn't have had if she had been able to stay at home in that same place that she had been before. But God began to develop her spiritually. And then that job began to increase, and she got a promotion after a promotion after a promotion. And now she makes more than she did before. She's grown more spiritually than she had before. And it's all because God leads us like an eagle. God wants to lead us to that place where we can soar. He wants to lead us to the place where we are going to mature and grow, and we're going to achieve that God-given destiny. Guess what, folks? God still stirs your nest from time to time. Have a great day. We'll see you next time. We'll talk about this more tomorrow. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
From within, we shine.